You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
I'd be somewhere where I couldn't bother anybody, or I'd be dead.
Look, he didn't use Moses till he was 80. I'm going to be 71 next month. Mm-hmm. I totally get where you're coming. All of our scruples or whatever, the morals change, even if you're a decent person before 70. After 70, wow.
You're pretty locked in.
You really
you're pretty locked in, yeah.
People count.
And I'm having, right now, part of this issue I told you I was dealing with involves a minor child,
yes.
My granddaughter.
Yeah.
And it's really, really sad that the way things went about, and it's been a long year for her, you know. But like I told her, I go, listen, honey, you know, I pointed out, I said, everything that's going on, it's not about me, it's about you. God is protecting you, but he's using me as the lightning rod to protect you from these people, which is what he's doing. Mm. You know, I said, just keep praying and just keep thanking God for what he's doing and recognize that he's taking this child, this minor child that was the tail, and God has moved her up to the head now. So, you know, it's like, that's what I'm focused on. I'm not going to, like I told you, I'm not going to let them draw me out into the anger and the recriminations.
I've learned later in life, it's really super cool, powerful. If somebody really ticks you off, and I've gotten ticked off the past year, but there's been other times. One guy was honking at me rudely in traffic up in Vermont this past summer. I pulled out to go left, and the people coming down the mountain were coming down. It's a big, long line. But he's way back. There's nobody there, so I pull out, blocking that traffic. Well, for some reason this day, no one would let me out, so I'm blocking. He comes up, honk, honk. He's a kind of Chevrolet. So I come up, finally, my window's down, his is too, and I come around the corner. I go, maybe you should consider cultivating a little, giving people a bit of dignity, you know? And his mouth dropped because he probably thought I was going to swear something at him. And I won. The only thing is I prayed to the Lord after I went down the road, and I said, you know, I could have even done better, Lord. I said, I should have said, you know what? My name's Rhett Palmer, and I live down this street here on Pleasant Street. And I said, if you need a friend, I'll be there for you.
There you go.
And then people bamboozle them with kindness.
Yeah.
Because then you have the power. If they can make you, like my friend Jimmy in this town, he's in recovery. He's a former cop from New York State, Jimmy J. And he said, if somebody throws you a ball, you throw it back, you're in the game. But if they throw you a ball and you don't throw it back, you're not getting in the game.
You're not going to get to first base if you're not
in the
game.
People don't realize that. They get mad, young people in traffic, mm-hmm. and I go, no, it's fun to have the power of love, the power of giving others dignity. Hey, you want to go first on the elevator? Let me stand aside. You go right ahead. You're young and in a rush. It's okay with me. And the moment we give somebody else dignity, what happens? You get dignified yourself.
Just by the act.
You don't need a thank you. Don't mm-hmm. demand a mm-hmm. thank you, because mm-hmm. then you don't do things to be thanked. God will see. And God, what you do in secret, God will reward you openly, right?
Yep. That's who I'm working for now. I've quit trying
the Lord.
All these other people. They don't understand, they don't care or whatever. So I don't have time for that anymore.
No.
I'm running out of time. I mean, quite frankly. So I've got to stay focused on, you know, what my little mission is right here. And you're absolutely right. I used to be probably the most impatient person you've ever come across.
Yeah.
If I didn't get what I wanted or get what I needed right away, then I just became furious. So and in the last 4 or 5 years, I've focused on that to don't get caught up in the anger. Just don't get caught up in the anger.
Yeah. Well, by the way, Noah, would you give me a report on timing, if you would, from time to time? But thank you. Just up on the screen, it would be fine. Thank you. So go ahead. So just very nice to meet you, by the way. We're talking with Jim Weir, W-E-I-R. Do you have a daughter?
I have a daughter, yeah.
Is she into computers?
No.
Okay, because I know a lady named Weir, and she's tall, she's in recovery, dark hair, and she's,
it's probably my niece.
Probably, maybe.
Mary?
But I think that's her name.
My niece.
Yeah.
Well, she has.
But I don't want to talk to you about anybody anymore.
No, but let me tell you.
You got me on.
She's part of my story because
Well, don't mention her personally. Because,
no, I'm not. But what I'm going what I will say is this: I have a family member that I prayed for 25 years that was in some really crazy stuff.
Yeah,
it's not important.
No,
but she called me up. It's probably been not to cry 2 years now.
Oh, really?
She called me up and she goes, "I want to tell you something, Uncle Jim." She goes, "I've accepted Jesus Christ as
really?
My Lord and Savior." You could have knocked me down with a feather, because I've been praying for her all these years to just call out to God, ask God to come. And,
You never know.
You never know.
I was talking to a pastor this morning at an event, one of these networking events from a local realty company and lawyer, about how, you never know. All the people that told me about Jesus, and I poo-pooed them.
Me too.
But, I'll get away from me. Ah, Jesus freak. And then I had one friend, like you said. I had a friend, Bobby Vendetta, and he was my bass player in my band. And he said, we did recordings together. He said he'd come to know Jesus. Yeah, he said, I'm witnessing to you. I said, what's that mean? Well, I'm witnessing to see that you. So for a year, at the corner of my eye, I observed him. And I said, there's a change. Mm-hmm. Now, here I am, 50 years later, talking about that experience of seeing.
Had a major change.
You see it? Yes. There was a guy I knew up here on the beach, a wealthy man, and he was always angry and bitter and something. He came into a meeting a couple of years ago, a few years ago now, and his countenance had changed. And he had a conversion to the Lord. Mm-hmm. I tell you, when that switches, and as I said before, if you're listening to this broadcast, Jesus said, make sure you're born from above, for you must be born once of the flesh, once of the womb, but once of the Spirit. And it's not playing games. Mm-hmm. You can go and sit in a garage. It doesn't make you a car. You can sit in a pew of any church, and believe me, you got born again Catholics, and you got Catholics that aren't born again. You've got Protestants born again, some not born. Only you and the Lord know. And you'll know that if you have, in fact, been converted.
Mm-hmm. That I didn't, like when I went to jail in the last time, and the gentleman came into my cell that was, my mentor.
Yeah.
At that time, I didn't know what God was doing. It was only
reflecting back years later.
Yeah, years later, not a whole lot of years, but years later that, wow. That guy just came out of nowhere with all this knowledge.
Bible. Walking Bible.
I mean, they got like four floors of people in jail cells down there. How did he get in my room? So that just
nothing is impossible, Lord. It is written, the Lord's hand is not short that he cannot save.
When I called you the other day.
Yes, sir.
I called you based on what that guy said about how he was instantaneously freed.
Yeah.
And I went through that in that jail cell. When I got up off the floor for my first good cry out, I watched as a mist, that's all I can describe it as, a mist just left my body and went right. And I'm facing the wall. There's a little tiny window about 6 inches wide and about 3 feet tall. I watched this mist leave my body and go right out that solid concrete wall.
Really?
I think that was my addiction. I don't know what it was, but I watched it happen. Okay?
And I believe you.
Yeah, and that was instantaneous. The cravings that I'd always had before, they were gone.
That happens, my friend.
Because I'd be on that phone, get me. I got to get out of here right now. There's drugs out there that are waiting on me. Like that.
Sure.
But
that devil has a hold on you.
I let that go. I didn't call people and ask them to get me out.
My friend David was 98, just passed away, and he said, well, man have the Indians have a saying, man have first drink, man have second drink, third drink have man.
Have man,
I mean, in other words, then it owns you, baby.
You're done.
It's like a gorilla.
And my son's been a Christian since he was born, believe it or not. He's just one of those. His grandmother was a God-fearing woman. His mother's a God-fearing woman. He was just...
Well, he must rejoice that you're converted.
You don't know. When I was in jail, they told him, don't mess with your dad. Your dad's bad news.
Yeah.
He made a trip from Orlando down, brought me a Bible. He's very strong in the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. He's going to the University of Florida.
Wonderful.
He worked for Steve Spurrier. He was Steve Spurrier's personal assistant.
I don't know who that is, but...
The coach of University of Florida, football coach, yeah.
I don't keep up.
So, I mean, God had his hand on my son's
life.
But, you know, I didn't know how to walk. So I was thinking, who can I look to? And my son. My son's been walking this walk for 20 years. You know, he started as a child. So, and my son... His walk, he mentored me, and he didn't even know it. I didn't even tell him until later. He goes, Dad, how are you? I said, I'm watching you, son. I'm watching you. You're my mentor, even though you don't know
it. He was your Bobby Vendetta.
Yes, yes.
He's just on the corner of your eye looking out, going, hmm.
Yeah. God's restored that relationship. He had no reason to ever want me in his life other than the fact that he just wanted to know his dad. Mm. You know, I was never there for. Yeah. You know, he knew I was a reprobate. He had everybody telling him I was a reprobate.
Yeah.
You know.
But
he made a decision. He made a decision.
And pursued you.
Yeah.
So you're on the ground and you're praying and you see that mist just get up and just walk through the wall. And that was your decision. Now, I've heard the late Reverend Bill Kearney, he said the same thing happened to him. He was instantaneously delivered. I don't know why some are and some are not. You may have been hearing the interview I did of the highwayman painter, Al.
I think I've heard that interview.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, he was in the room, and he said this big ball of light came in. Who are you? I'm Jesus. And he said, if you're really Jesus, fill the room, fill the whole room light. And when the light left, he was totally delivered instantaneously. And he said, Rhett, do you know the addiction of crack cocaine? I said, no, I've never taken
it. Oh, it's horrible.
He said, it's the worst thing in the world, and I was instantaneously delivered.
That's the guy that was on, you were talking about on the radio.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, it doesn't happen to everybody. It, you know, why God did that for me or why Jesus did that for me, I don't know. I don't know. But it was all part.
Yep.
And I can tell so many. When I got out of prison, I didn't know what I was going to do. I went to Calvary Chapel. They took me. Calvary Chapel, Fort Lauderdale, Pastor Bob Coy.
He was on my show years ago.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Grace that flows like a river.